I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Hotel Mars, episode end. David Livingston, Dr. Space, joins me. David, a very good evening to you. The Russians. We depend upon the Russians greatly these days, David. Once upon a time, there was a space race, a race to the moon. It was said to be about the end of the world. Whoever gets the high ground will command in the Cold War, turning into the Hot War. Where did that go, David? Do we still compete with the Russians, or do we depend upon them? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think we do a little bit of both, but we have a model international agreement with the Russians on the International Space Station, and we do some programs together, and we also compete, and we also have differences in political priorities that we compete on as well.
And we share a space station. Remember, the ISS is a joint operation. There's a Russian side. There's an American side. There are other modules from our allies. It's a demilitarized place in low Earth orbit. And we're joined now by someone who can help us understand this cooperation and competition. This is Anatoly Zak. It's a pleasure to welcome him to the show. His new book is on its way to the stores now. You'll be able to find it on many websites. I see a comment on NASASpaceflight.com. Anatoly's new book is called Russia in Space. It's very lavishly illustrated, as well as being in English. He had a previous book, Ascent, in Russian language only. For those of you who are privileged to speak Russian, it was about the 50th anniversary of Yuri Gagarin. Anatoly, congratulations and good evening. I begin in media res, Anatoly, because we depend upon the Russians to transport equipment and personnel to the ISS, to the low Earth orbit. That's from the Russian spaceport in Kazakhstan, once upon a time a secret base, now quite open. Are the Russians happy about this? Are they comfortable with the American contracts, or is there some tension there? Good evening, Anatoly.
Hello, yes, and thank you for having me. And yes, absolutely. It's Russians, obviously, like Americans probably, they have mixed feelings about whole cooperation. On one hand, they like the fact that Russian space program has this prestige and has this respect in the West. And at the same time, sometimes we hear voices in Russia where some people say, well, we are just a chauffeur and garbage man. There is this mixed feelings about this, no doubt.
David?
Hi, Anatoly.
Hello.
I've always wondered, and I've had guests on the space show talk about this, is how the Russians protect themselves on microgravity issues and their protocols as compared to the NASA side of the space station. And my understanding is that the Russian side has far fewer problems, has fresh vegetables and other things that they grow. Can you kind of talk about the difference between the two sides of the station?
I would say that, first of all, the Russian part of the station has sort of this service function. Because, for example, Zvezda service module is, first of all, the living quarters for the crew, and it's also provides orientation, propulsion, all the service sections, while the science part, where all the experiments are done, are mostly done on U.S. side, European and Japanese side. So when I first said about this sort of mixed feelings on the Russian side, that's where partially it comes from, because Russia never remembered that. Even you hear in press that this International Space Station was already built and completed. Actually, the Russian segment of the station, scientific part, had never been built. So essentially what we have on the Russian part of the segment is the service part of the station, which maintains the orientation of the station, provides propulsion, and provides docking for cargo ships and crew ships which are coming in. So that's the main difference between segments. On the side of the space medicine, we ask about how we're preparing people to be in space, I think Russians, obviously, they built many space stations, and they have huge experience in sort of fighting effects of microgravity. And during over all these decades, when they were extending the duration of their missions, they developed systems to maintain the crew in good health and well fit for the return. And most of it, I would say, the most important factor which Russians sort of using, and I think it's also well understood on the NASA side, is exercise, physical activity, which every crew member has to do every day in order to maintain the body within microgravity conditions, so that all the muscles and all the body is remains in good fit for return to Earth into the gravity conditions.
We're speaking to Anatoly Zak. His new book is Russia in Space. It's a pleasure to talk to someone who sees the space frontier from the Russian point of view, because there are two great states in space right now. China is a caboose to the engines of Russia and the United States. Anatoly, the frontier in America now is no longer big space, NASA, but it's this little development on the horizon that could easily become the 21st century, private space. We have SpaceX, Orbital Sciences. We have a number of enterprises that are building or looking to build suborbital and orbital spacecraft and launchers. On the other hand, the Russian big space has elements that want to be competitive for a launch of vehicles in particular, not necessarily manned vehicles. Is there a private space industry or community or neighborhood in Russia that's developing that matches the one in the United States, Anatoly?
Well, not necessarily, not exactly. As we know, the main enterprises, which the Russian space industry exists under Roscosmos, Russian Space Agency.
Yes.
Roscosmos essentially funds most of the organizations which provide spacecraft and rockets and all the related technology. However, it's not unlike in the United States, because also remember that in the U.S., NASA provides considerable funding for all the private companies which right now build spacecraft. Even the new crop of those smaller companies, they're also funded essentially by NASA. So this situation might be similar and different at the same time. And I think the main difference is that in Russia is just smaller number of companies which participate in this activities.
Is there ambition for more? I mean, does Russia have a fertile ground for a private space enterprise or entrepreneurship?
Yes, they certainly have a very developed industry. However, the issue is how much funding Roscosmos can provide to, for example, like NASA provided seed money for, let's say, four or five companies in manned space flight, and they all build in different spacecraft. While in Russia, Roscosmos only funds one company, RKK Energia, to provide both Soyuz manned spacecraft and Progress cargo ship, which right now resupply the International Space Station.
David?
Anatoly, what is the word on getting Proton launch vehicles, your real workhorse launch vehicle, back online and flying again? Any news on that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Essentially, we just had a few days ago announcement that investigation is essentially completed. We know the root cause of the problem, and they're working right now to return Proton to flight on September 15th, which, of course, we will be carefully watching, and hopefully it returns to flight, and right now they understand exactly where the problem came from and what they need to do to correct this issue.
Anatoly, it comes to me, I'm looking forward to your book and we'll have a detailed conversation, but this is a cultural question. Are cosmonauts or cosmonaut families or former cosmonauts, are they venerated in the Russian public? Are they celebrated? Do people know where they are? Do they admire them?
I believe, yes, from my perspective, I believe that manned space program in Russia is, let's say, a little bit more popular than, let's say, manned space program in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the past couple of decades, I would say, we all noticed this trend where the popularity of space program and the popularity of space exploration went down. It's a universal process, both in the West and in Russia. And let's say, new generation, teenagers and young people, know less and less about space, and probably we space journalists should probably take part of the blame that we cannot convince our editors to run more stories about space, and probably don't write enough books which would be interested to.
Well, we all look forward to your new book, Anatoly Zak, Z-A-K. He is obviously a Russian speaker who has excellent English. This book is in English and in Russian. Ascent, the previous book about 50th anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's success, is in Russian only. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. I'm John Batchelor. Russian Space is the new book. This is The John Batchelor Show. And 99.7.